The Blind Boys of Alabama with Jesus Gonna Be Here. And I just love the song. I really do. I love the orchestration of it, the melody, everything. This group was formed at the Alabama Institute for the Negro Blind. That's what it was called. The Alabama Institute for the Negro Blind in Talladega, Alabama, in 1939. And this song is from their May the 13th, 2016 album release. The album is titled Spirit of the Century. You know, I say it casually, but it is a profound statement about this country. You know, even when you can't see, you are made to distinguish between you and somebody else who might not be Black, might not be Negro, as they say in that time. It's a beautiful song, and all their music is just beautiful. So I'm a long-time fan. All right. We continue from where we left off yesterday. And we were asking the question, what do we mean by police reform? What is it? What is the role and function of law enforcement in our society today? The word reform implies that there ought to be a change, that it's going to be different from what it is now, except we're not so clear about what it is now, and even less so about what it is there, the plan is for policing to be. So we're going back to that question. We're just talking, and then later on, we start talking to police officers and so forth. I know many who for years have been dealing with this issue of police reform. As Black cops, Latino cops, women cops, many of them work under extraordinary stresses, firmly believing among the group that they too are targets. They really believe it. I know there was a time in New York City where Black cops were the quarry of white cops, because they felt that the Black cops were too close to the community and weren't as enthusiastic about, quote, enforcing the law, unquote, that they had a different mindset, which they deemed to be anti-cop. So it's a very complicated thing, but we'll ease ourselves into it and we'll get to that discussion because it has to be had. So this issue of reform, what is it supposed to do? What is it supposed to be? What will it look like? How will it make our day-to-day lives different? What are the key ingredients of this new recipe that apparently they're preparing to cook up that would make policing different, and especially for people of color and the poor? In what ways would we be able to tell the difference, as in improvement? Who gets to decide what reform will be? These are questions that we should be asking, and these are things we should be talking about so that we have ongoing points of reference. There's no one way to look at the situation or to understand it. So, and we We too are experts. The communities are filled with experts on this question of policing. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's continue the discussion. I just want to make a note here. Yesterday, our last caller was, I believe, let me see. Our last caller was Tony from Orlando, and he did not get to finish up his idea. And I did say, please call back again so that you can do just that. So here you go. Call back again and finish up your idea, because you were saying some very, very deep things that we needed to ponder. 888-874-4888. What is this thing? I keep calling it a thing because it's a policy, it's an attitude, it's official commands and changes that will be made. And so it's an amorphous thing right now. But what is policing to be if it is not what it is right now? If it is not going to be what it is right now, and we know what it is, and we have enough trouble with what it is, then what are the changes that are contemplated? And would those changes necessarily be improvements? What will be the role of citizens? And by citizens, I mean just the people. What would be our role? What input would we have in this reformation that they're talking about in policing? 888-874-4888. We talked yesterday about how policing was envisioned strictly as a class control method for the upper classes, to control the lower classes, to control and regulate society. But is that a legal thing? Is that a legal construct? Where in any society where you have a system or a mechanism that controls society as a whole, that makes the laws of society, you also have this separate yet coordinating arm, which has the added, I don't want to say privilege, but it has the added purpose of enforcement. So the police can be seen as an intervening or an intermediary agency, regulating society, but also keeping society under control so as to keep the riffraff, the poor, from attacking the upper classes. Was that imagined to be the purpose of policing, or did it just evolve that way? Was this on purpose, or did it come about accidentally? What do you say? Let's get into it at 888-874-4888. I don't see any names yet. I don't know what's going on. You're getting a little bit too lazy for me. I need people on the ball. That's right. You have some work to do. Let's get it done. 888-874-4888. Now, we're talking about this in a philosophical way, in a large way, in, you know, the big picture way. But we will be jarred not too long from now when the new laws are made and laid down that we have to obey as the citizens of the country. We have to obey the law. And this organization, this agency called the police department, will be enforcing the law. And the court system will come behind that and further enforce the law by way of meting out punishments for breaking the law. You see how it goes? We're not just talking about something isolated, because there are several pieces of the puzzle that people generally don't talk about, or they talk about them as if they're in isolation. And yet, we can understand that they are linked. They work together to produce a specific outcome. What is that outcome? Are we satisfied that they could actually change this? How does that happen? Tony from Orlando, you're on again. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, Chief. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
My meaning of reform, police reform, that is required in this country is not necessarily defunding the police, but disarming of the police. Unfortunately, that concept, in my opinion, is a long ways from today, because we live in a slave state where they have this law, this right, so to speak, the Second Amendment, which in my opinion was designed to do exactly what you were talking about, that the police's role is to maintain order and to suppress the lower caste people, like Brother David from Brooklyn eloquently describes. And unfortunately, as long as you have the Second Amendment, where you have the ease of purchasing firearms amongst the certain privileged citizens. I say that because if you analyze the whole Second Amendment situation, when you look at black and brown communities, those communities are usually restricted from purchasing firearms legally to protect themselves, whereas more whiter communities have more liberal policies as far as purchasing those same type of weapons. Whether that's, you know, designed for purposely or not, but that is the fact when you look at the situation in this country. But as long as you have these weapons that you can just purchase, the police will always have the argument that you will be insane to disarm them and expect them to pull somebody over at 2 o'clock in the morning when the person who they're pulling over might be having a weapon. But so as long as, like I said, as long as you have this Second Amendment slave state mentality in this country, because I think this is the only country that has something similar to that, we won't be able to have a situation where a policeman can come to your home, ask questions without getting ready to kill you.
You have a rather dire scenario that you paint for us today, but it's worth. It's to be thought about. It certainly is to be put in the mix and thought about.
I mean, it's too, you know, like they say, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. Those are two negative things that I believe that nothing good is going to come out of it. As long as we have the Second Amendment, police will always be armed, and as long as you have the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment wouldn't be a problem if people were held accountable for quote unquote having their firearms stolen from them, because there's a large amount of firearms that somehow ends up in the black market. And those are the ones that they use the excuse for the police having to be armed, because supposedly the good guys are, you know, have their firearms legally. And, you know, the good guys are the ones that not you don't have to worry about is the bad guys. But unfortunately, the system that they have in place to monitor these firearms is very bad. Is very inefficient. It allows for massive amounts of illegal firearms to enter the black market, where you have criminals purchasing them or whatnot, and even supposed you know, regular people that might have some mental illness and just snap, or might just be stressed out. You can't control those kind of things. In my opinion, as long as you have this gun state that we live in, and that's why I always say this is a gun state we live in. We as citizens, the best weapon we have is not to give them the ammo to load into the gun and shoot at us. And by that I mean, you know, I personally live a very low profile type of lifestyle. I don't live extravagantly. I try to save my money. I try to give my children. I focus more in giving them an education rather than buying them the latest gadgets. And that's how I try to navigate in this world that we're born into, you know, as best as possible. Well, and that's not even a guarantee.
Well, thank you for calling back and continuing your presentation from yesterday. And thank you for your thoughts. Thanks so much. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, where have you been?
Sometimes I have to hide away from you. I have to hide away and practice self-control, and when I think I have a little self-control, then I come back.
All right. Well, that's good. That's excellent. What does this reform issue mean to you? What concerns you about it?
First of all, I think the fact that we're talking about police reform means that we're saying that something is wrong. And I think in order to talk about police reform, we have to identify what is the purpose of police, and also what is the reason for the reform. The purpose of police, and I'm saying this from the point of view that I had planned to, and I still have plans, you know, to go back to Jamaica and get into politics, and one of the major things I was thinking about was the police and the soldiers. Police, soldiers, everyone in society, we are all laborers. Everyone in society is a laborer. And the purpose of the police is to serve the people. The purpose of the police is for the good of the people. And it's also to serve as a mediating force in the times of, you know, some incongruency, you know. The purpose of the police is not to abuse the people. The police should be taught that they're no different than a factory worker, no different than a musician. It just so happened that their job is called police. The soldier, their job is called soldier. And it all together should work in harmony for the good of the people. So therefore, the training of the police should be different. Police should be trained to be servants. They should be trained to be troubleshooters. So, hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
So, like, for example, I think like there should be an arm of the police that should be called the troubleshooting arm. So now, it's just like, you know, someone driving down the street and you see a pothole. And so you say, oh, okay, we have to take note of this and we have to report it. This pothole has got to be fixed. You know, this intersection is a danger. Oh, the police should also be taught to be like, say, if they see someone in trouble, like a flat tire, you know, whatever, someone in distress. It shouldn't be just about responding to crime. And so they're taught like that and taught that they are no different from a factory worker, that they are just like the various parts of our bodies. The eye performs a particular function, the ear performs a function, the brain performs a function, and none of them are trying to harm each other. They're all working for the good of all. So the police should be trained to work for the good and the health of society. So, you know, the police are like a bodyguard. You hire your bodyguard. You don't hire your bodyguard to beat you up. And we hire them. And they should understand that. And that we are all interconnected. It's a way to call it, you know, symbiotic. The police and the people should be a symbiotic relationship. And it shouldn't be us against them because they are laborers. Just like the people in government, they should be trained like they are laborers also. Whether you be president or whoever, you are just another laborer in society. All of us functioning together for the good of all. The brain doesn't just function for the good of the brain. The toe doesn't just function for the good of the toe. Neither does the eye or the ear. But every part functions for the good of the whole. And I think if we have that kind of approach, then the training would be different. There would be months of psychological training, months, maybe years. I mean, not say years, you know, maybe 2 years. And so, you know, and but that's how. That was the idea I have. And the soldiers should be taught that way, too. And they should be so trained that in cases where they are commanded to do something that is unethical, they should have the right to say, no. I'm not going to go there and do that if it's wrong. That should be including in it. You know, it's like, you know, I give you, and I don't want to digress. Like, you know, I'm a single parent. You know, my last child is a daughter. And I remember one day I said to her, you know, I said, I'm here to help you, to prepare you for this world. And I said, it's good, you know, for children to be obedient. But I told her, I said, but if daddy ever tells you to do something that's wrong, that's when you should disobey daddy. And I wasn't afraid to do it. I wanted her to realize, yeah, there is a limit to me in your life. And if ever I cross that line, you should say, no, daddy, because I wanted her to understand that this applies to all forms of life. And that applies to the police, too.
But when you say these things, aren't you being a bit unrealistic?
No.
You sound very, you know, the guy who wants to do good, all things bright and beautiful, but these concepts that you're talking about don't obtain generally in our world. Our world is not like that. Our world is harsh and cruel. Our world is in need of discipline and so forth. How is that going to, how do you marry the two?
It's like saying that we need to be sad in order to appreciate happiness. You know, it's like I train like an Olympic athlete, you know. I used to run a four-minute mile, and I'm trying to run a four-minute mile again. And the world says, you can't because of my so-called age. I don't believe that. And I'm planning to run a four-minute mile, maybe a sub-four-minute mile again. And I'm saying it's the same way when we approach this. We can't say, oh, that's too idealistic. We have to, it's just like, you know, going to the moon. The first time they attempt to go to the moon, many people thought that, oh, that's so far-fetched. And we have to stop having that far-fetched mentality and instead say, hey, this is what we need. And in order to accomplish this, this is what we have to do. You know, so, okay, this is the kind of training these policemen now need. And those who were trained badly, they got to be retrained. They got to, and there should be like, you know, intermittent moments when they go in for classes, just like when they go in for practicing their gun, they should go in for reminder classes. You are servants of the people. It is realistic. It's no different than, it's like, I think it was Immanuel Kant. He said, virtue is something you practice, you attain. We don't just get up and be good people. You have to work on it. And if we want a great society, then we have to work on it. It's no different than going to college and trying to get a degree. You have to work for it. Life is effort. Work.
Yes, hello? Sir. Yeah. Thank you, Lincoln, for calling in and contributing today. Meaningful things you're saying. I just have to ask you, I had to prod you. Ask him that. So I did. Thanks for calling in. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Thank you, Ms. Leed. Really enlightening discussion yesterday. Oh, well, thank you. I'm Marcus. You were nice enough to let me make a point yesterday about what the government, the police, any aspect of the government is legally obligated to do to protect you, which is basically nothing. If the police don't pull over a drunk driver who runs over you later, you can't prosecute them. Or if a cop who is known to be violently unstable shoots you when he's only pulling you over for something wrong with your muffler, that's their purview. So the point I tried to make was that policing in our society does not end with the people in the uniforms. So, for instance, if the project is to keep people of color out of your neighborhood, well, you don't appeal to the legislature or the municipal government to write a law. That's too obvious. So you do it through homeowners associations. Now, they are not legal entities, but the police will enforce the dictates that the homeowners associations come up with. And so there are all kinds of elements like this in the culture that are connected to policing but aren't recognized as aspects of policing. And the reformist line to me, in order to change things, is just a kind of opportunism, because the reformist line is really, in the end, the most effective way of stabilizing this kind of capitalist domination. Number one, reformism requires economic prosperity. So it's perfectly simple for the police to make appeals, as they do, that, well, two officers with machine guns can hold down 1,000 people, but 100 officers with billy clubs can only control 1,000 people. So just on the basis of saving money, you end up with militarized police. And they get away with this because they are camouflaged by this really nothing political reform. All it does is concentrate the state and economic power and allows it to accelerate. So, the great Buddhist scholar Thich Nhat Hanh said, it's not enough to be against war. You have to be against everything like war. So it's not enough just to be against police oppression. You have to be against everything connected to it that enables it. And that's our rotten economic system. And the problem in the end, to me, is still us. We have no theory. We have no vision from which we can make demands for the kind of future we want. We take this very reactive, childish stance of waiting around, ooh, what kind of reform will they institute after, letting us air our grievances and all that stuff, which just makes them look tolerant. We never have anything in place in which to force their hand That's the problem as I see it. And so I'm glad you bring up this discussion of what reformism is. I don't think you can reform the police. You need a completely different alternative to what the police represent. I don't think you can do it under the current economic setup or political setup, or especially with an alienated, disconnected, disorganized, basically blind population standing around being waiting to be told what to do. So I'd be interested in your thoughts and your fellow callers' thoughts about this.
Me too. I'd be interested in their thoughts because I think this is where a change starts. It's not that, well, we will use what we already are doing as the template. Bad news. Because we don't want that template. But we should engage in the kinds of discussions that would produce new ideas and hopefully the system that we are accustomed to as the policing system would see the need to move in the right direction on critical issues that we have. Or identify. So it's a matter of talking first, talking it out loud, so people mm-hmm. can't say, well, I never heard that before, or I didn't consider that. These are some ideas that are being spoken out loud so people can hear and think about them. And then I agree with you wholeheartedly about the community just can't sit and wait until something gels. It probably will be the wrong thing gelling. And in any event, you lock yourself out of the equation. And that's the other problem. So we have to be involved, but we have to be informed in order to be involved meaningfully.
If I can add one thing in order to facilitate our undertaking this, I think the first thing we have to do is do something about the opportunists who always step out in front of what we're actually trying to accomplish in order to look legitimate. So, you know, they have the Constitution in their hand, or they're blathering about social justice or something. And the real purpose of their doing it is to advance themselves and neutralize the contradictions, which leaves the actual real criticism dead in the water and empty of content, so we can't act. So I think this is essential. We can't have anything dramatic happen if we have fakes out in front pretending to lead us, just trying to make us feel good, when they actually don't have any intention of actually following through on anything legitimate.
But first, we got to talk. just have to talk.
Yeah.
Think and talk. That's mm-hmm. the first step, it seems to me. Thank you so much for calling in and for contributing so meaningfully. Thank you. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you trees. I'm going to try to get right to the point. And the point I'm going to make to start off this discussion is that you cannot change the mission of the police. Just like you cannot change voluntarily the capitalist system that we have in this world, the most successful one in the United States, and you cannot change a part of it, which is called white supremacy. So all of these things go together. There's no way you're going to change the mission of the police. You may have some things that little regulations that may do something around the edges, but the mission of the police is to work for the interests of the ruling class that runs the country and whatever it takes. So to think that you're going to have some laws passed or regulations to make everything fair and just for everyone, that is impossible. That is totally impossible. So people understand that when they should understand, this is the most successful capitalist country in the world. This is not Scandinavia. And part of their success as capitalists is to maintain this system we have, the most successful system called white supremacy, and maintaining the caste system that we have of the major caste, the white caste, and all of the phenotype people in that caste and of various classes, and having them monitor anyone in a lower caste. And as long as you can have that divide and conquer of the working class people in all castes, the people at the top can rule. So you're not going to get any fundamental changes in the police department. They're going to do what they have to do, whether it's monitoring sundown towns and keeping people who of color driving through town at night, or whatever they have to do. So to think that you're going to have some kind of fair and just reform is impossible. As long as you have American capitalism, which the goal is to make as much profit as possible, and without giving people below any benefit, and we see that right now because the ruling classes get richer and half the people are getting poorer and poorer, near poor or poor, and in all classes, all castes, including the white caste and the black caste. So this idea that you're going to reform and make everything right and all that, that is totally ridiculous, and people ought to forget about that, because that's not going to work. As I say, the main thing is capitalism. American capitalism is a very successful capitalism, and it doesn't want to do any social benefit for anyone. This is about making money for the ruling class, period. And the police are right in harmony with that, and don't expect anything different.
Is policing, do you see it as a function, a necessary function of how our society works?
Policing is a very a very important function for those who rule. The police are there to keep people in their place and keep people in check. They themselves are in the working class, and they are there to keep check on other working class people and keep the caste division as we have. We have caste and we have classes. So people belong to a caste and they belong to a class in that caste. So the police are there to keep things the same. That's how it works. And the concept of white supremacy, which is ridiculous, there's no kind of thing like that. People of the same species. But the point is the police keep that in order, and this is to the benefit of those who are at the very top, the people who really run the country. The people do not run the country. The ruling class runs the country. We got to get that through our head. That's why we only have basically the Republican and Democrat group in that one uniparty. So we have to understand that, but people don't. You know, they're easily fooled, and the ruling class, as we got to remember, controls all the information, radio, television, schools, all of that, and they can get people fighting each other and contending against each other, and that's it. You always
question inevitably becomes, how then does a society rule it and govern itself if the law, quote unquote, the law is what we basically are all governed by, and the police or policing is the method by which we maintain the law?
Yes. We see, the point is that the ruling class is a class that puts these laws out there. And these laws are basically made to control the masses of people. I mean, to me, that's very clear. In terms of what they do as the, I'd say, crooks that they are under the system, it does not bother them. They can always get around these laws that they put in books, and that's what they do. That's why the prisons and jails are full of people who are in the lower classes of their castes. And even if it costs $100,000 to keep someone in jail for a year, that's all right with the ruling class, because they get lower class people to watch the other people in the prisons and jails. So it's a very successful system, because you have people contending each other. You got this stupid idea of white supremacy. That's a trick. And they're very good at that. So no attention is on them. You got people fighting against each other. And they go to the bank and fill up the bank with half the money, while the rest of the people are on the bottom of the scale with very little and waiting on 500-car food lines to get some food. So that's what we have here. And the police are not going to change their mission. They're going to continue to do the same thing they usually do, regardless of what regulations you put in there. There's always some way to continue their mission they have to rule the people in the for the benefit of those who rule the country.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for contributing today. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I think David put it very eloquently. It's a systemic thing. As long as you have a society based on money, you're going to have all these big problems, because the corruption that gets created by that. And the police system is just an example of the systems that fail in this world. And it's all connected, interconnected. It's very complex.
Let us focus in, because I don't want us to stray too far from the subject. What is this thing called reform, police reform? What do you understand it to be?
It's just a word they're putting out there to make it look like they're going to do something about these problems of all these black people being killed by white police officers. So they have to come out with something that sounds like there's going to be some changes made. Press your button word or whatever it's called, something. The word, it's reform. It sounds like something important is going to happen, but doesn't happen. like nothing seems to happen good in this world anymore. But I think the people need to take charge of the good people of the world, need to take charge of life themselves. And we could start something that could maybe change things. Like we could use Gary Null's example of having these retreats. He gets people to come every few months to a beautiful place and they learn about eating and being healthy and curing themselves of ills. And then after a couple of weeks, they're feeling so much better and they're thinking clear. When they came, they were almost having dementia. Now that they're leaving, they're fine. So if we could base that and then create a community like that, instead of just being for 2 weeks, it's 24/7 people living in, just like they have hundreds of senior villages down here, but they're not healthy places. They're just for people to live.
But you're not answering the question. The question is, what do you understand this to be, this business of policing and police reform?
I don't have an answer for that, Yatrice. I thought I could come up with something that might help society. So this is what I'm trying to promote right now. We need places to live that are healthy. If you build them, people will move into them, and then we can start like that. And then you create more and more, and eventually you eliminate the squalor, and you don't have projects that people live in that they flood drugs into, and then you need the police.
But you're not answering the question. You're not. I have to make everybody pay attention to the question.
Here's my answer. Would you be a police officer, Yatrice?
No, it doesn't appeal to me, the job. Nor does being a mortician. It doesn't appeal to me as a job.
Doesn't appeal to you, exactly. Who does it appeal to?
The people who go in and sign up to learn more and to qualify for these jobs. They're people who are perfectly matched for this kind of job. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, and I'm not either. And anytime I think that I should be a police officer, I think I get an image that tell me I got to go into a building, an abandoned building, and find a criminal in there. And he's like 6'10", and I'm 5'11". So I'm going to want to learn every martial arts I could possibly learn.
You're not answering the question at all.
I'm answering the question.
What do you understand? Do you understand this concept of police reform to mean?
Yeah, if you're going to reform something, then you're going to change something, right? So if you want to change it for the better, then you have to have better police officers working on the force. Right now, the people that are working on the force are not the right people. They're sadists.
But you can't say that because you don't know that.
That's why they take the job.
You can't say that. Hello? You can't say that. No, you can't say the people on the force are not the right people. You can't say that. You haven't done a study of the statistics or anything else that would lead you to come to that conclusion. So
again, just
you don't want to indict a whole group of people.
Come on, why are we talking about this in the first place, Yatrice? Because the wrong people are as police officers, and it's because it's a systemic thing. You know, most of these, you've got 50,000.
What I'm saying is, there's one way to say, you know, to express an opinion, but when you present it as, you know, scientific fact, and you have no basis for that. You condemn even the good people who are on the force. You can't do that. You're painting with too wide a brush without knowing the specifics of it. So you think about that, and I'll be happy to hear from you again. Thank you. Mohammed from New York, you're on the air. Okay, we'll move ahead. Nathaniel from Los Angeles, you're on the air.
Greetings to Therese and to the greatest media company on earth, PRN.
Thank you. And hello to you, too. What do you think of the question? What is this thing that is being advanced to us, the people, of police reform? What are your thoughts about it?
Are we supposed to, a question back to you, I'm sorry. Are we supposed to go on what we're hearing coming out of those areas of our society that are supposed to be reforming the police, or our own individual ideas about what reforming the police are?
We don't have any idea what reform means or what it will mean. We have no idea. We know that some people think it's a good idea and it's being flagged as an initiative that whose time has come. But beyond that, we haven't gotten to the specifics of what this idea of police reform will be. What do you think it will be?
Now, should I say what I hope reform would be?
Just answer the question, however you wish to.
Okay. I think that reforming the police in all states, or especially those states where they have these types of problems. We don't have any data on where these problems occur, except in the poor neighborhoods and black and brown neighborhoods. It's so disgusting. I'm just tired of hearing about these types of things happening. Reform to me would be some kind of means to equip the officers with something that would allow them not to do these kinds of things. What those things are, would it be more of a sense of humanity towards the people that they are policing? Would it be a sense of more emphasis? You can't really do that kind of job without being harder and crueler than the average person. So it's difficult. It's very difficult to come up with what reform should be. I think I might have to ruminate on that some more.
Okay, that's fair. That's perfectly fine. But ruminate, because we'll be coming back to the subject, because it's brewing, and you can always tell when a concept or an issue or a subject is brewing, that it's not too far before they actually engage. And this is kind of like our heads up, if you will. Thanks so much for calling in today. Well, we're close to the end of our program today, and I just wanted to say, we're not just having idle chat. Some people may think, oh, geez, they're talking again. But this is in fact, the way to better legislation, the way to better formulation of solutions about how do you approach these endemic conditions and solutions so that everybody benefits. We know that policing is a major problem in the United States. Just this past week alone, we can tell from the numbers of funerals held of people killed by police. And we can also tell because they had something in common. The people killed were people of African American descent. We don't want to pretend that we can't figure out that there is a problem. Nor do we want to basically hide what we think might be a good solution, but we have to talk about it. We have to, if only so that we can convince each other that just as we are as qualified to enter the discussion as anybody else, any of the so-called experts, if not more so. We qualify because these things are happening in our communities. And there hasn't been really a solution, certainly not one that works. So we have to become concerned and we have to become involved. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. And as usual, for contributing to the discussion at such a high level. Let's continue and we will get something. We will formulate something as a desirable alternative to what we have now. Bye-bye.